It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Hour number three rolling along. This whole show has been rolling along. KSL News time is 2:35 or 2:36 p.m. now. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon, watching maybe a lot of college football. It's not a full slate of games yet. Big Ten Conference, they'll be joining the fray next month on October 24th. The SEC gets started next week. And, of course, BYU returns to action next week when they take on the Troy Trojans. And those Troy Trojans are playing right now against Middle Tennessee. Looking pretty good. Up 14-7 right now against the Blue Raiders. What do you kind of make of this Troy team? Just kind of an early look, Matt, from what you've been kind of seeing early on in this game. What do you make of this matchup with the Troy Trojans from the Sun Belt?
It's going to be a totally different look than what they got against Navy. I mean, obviously, but Troy can throw the football. Gunnar Watson, the Troy quarterback, 12 of 15, 130 yards and a TD. I think it'll just be fun to see a different style because we were all braced for back-to-back weeks of triple option, but now we're going to see a pass heavy team in Troy come to Provo.
Yeah, this Troy team's got some pretty good wide receivers, too, so it'll be a good test for BYU secondary and good secondary as well from Troy. So they got good athletes.
Yeah.
In the Sun Belt Conference, I got to say, Sun Belt, I know it's a deep cut here. Like, not many people are out in this part of the country are watching Sun Belt football, but they've looked pretty good so far this year. They beat a bunch of
Louisiana, right?
Yeah, they beat a bunch of Big 12 teams last week, and look, Troy might be a competitive team. BYU should win. Like, no doubt about it. Like, BYU's ranked. They looked really good against Navy. Navy had a nice win today, coming back the biggest comeback in their program's history from a halftime deficit. Navy gets it done against Tulane, but BYU should beat Troy. But it's a team that's got some capable personnel, and there's some familiarity there too with Ryan Pugh, the former BYU offensive line coach back in 2018. He's the offensive coordinator for Troy, and last year they had a top 10 passing offense, so they're going to come into Provo not feeling scared at all.
I can't help but think about the Big 12. Oklahoma State today, they eked out a win over Tulsa 16-7. They should have added BYU for for just one season, no strings attached. You're not a member of the conference, but that conference is hurting. And if BYU looks to be the team that we think they will be, then that would have boosted the conference because that conference is struggling. I mean, Texas looked good, but other than that, Texas and Oklahoma, I should say, but outside of that, it's been tough. Oklahoma State ranked 11, squeezes by Tulsa. Another opponent for BYU, Mitch, that has piqued my interest over the past few weeks, UTSA. They're up 10-0 right now over Stephen F. Austin. They play some fun football, and last week's game against Texas State was a crazy football game. I think UTSA and Texas State, for that matter, I don't think they'll beat BYU, but those will be actually, I think, interesting, entertaining football games.
Yeah, you're right. UTSA last week beat their in-state rival Texas State in double overtime, and again, like there's talent across the board in college football. Like every team is going to have some really good players at the top of their roster. It's the issue of depth, but particularly too in the trenches. Like BYU is going to have a decisive advantage in the trenches against everyone they face this year. It's just not even going to be a debate. Other than maybe Houston, they got some pretty good personnel in their defensive line, but BYU will have massive size advantages over these teams that they're going to face this season. It poses a great opportunity for BYU to potentially run the table. But like you said, UTSA up on Stephen F. Austin 10-0. Some other teams that BYU is going to face this season that are in action coming up a little bit later today: Louisiana Tech, who BYU added on the schedule earlier this week. They're going to take on Southern Mississippi at 5:30 tonight. And Texas State, the Bobcats, who've already played two games. So big props to Texas State for getting to game number three today. They're going to take on Louisiana Monroe, 5:30 kick on ESPNU. Houston was supposed to play Baylor. That was going to be a really interesting game, but that game got postponed due to COVID-19. So a few games of note for Cougar fans to watch on this Saturday afternoon without any BYU football, sadly, here in the fall.
And let me just bring up two teams that I want BYU football to play here in 2020 that the door's not closed yet. Maybe Cincinnati's closed. Cincinnati, a top 15 team. They dominated Austin Peay 55-20. That's a team today on game day that I believe, I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been David Pollack that had Cincinnati in the college football playoff.
So he wants the playoff expanded, which I think would be great this year because of all the
craziness. Yeah,
all the craziness, number of games played. I mean, give some not favoritism, but maybe a little bit of an edge over the Big Ten to these teams that started from week one and are trying to play 10 games. Like, give the AAC a shot to make the playoff. Like, expand it to eight teams. Why not this year? Please expand it.
That's a great point. Just thinking about that, because I'm not pro expand the college football playoff. Yeah. I like it the way it is. But 2020, let's be creative. Throw it all out there. I might even be down for 16. Scrap the bowls, or just have a couple meaningful ones, but expand that playoff and get a Cincinnati in there. Get, if Army goes undefeated, get them in there. Get, if Louisiana,
get BYU in there.
Okay, well, yeah.
If it's a 16-team playoff and BYU goes undefeated,
yes,
they should be in that 16-team playoff. No questions asked.
That would be fun. I'm actually warming up to that idea. It's not going to happen because we've seen that none of these leagues have that much creativity, even though everyone would give them a free pass for 2020 to do anything. It's not going to happen, but that is a really interesting idea. I would love to see that, and it'd be a good little test to see what's great about it, what's not great about it, what impacts does it have for things that maybe you wouldn't have considered. I really like that idea, Mitch. Expand the playoff.
You know what would have been a nice idea, too, this year, Matt? Would have been Notre Dame having the courage to actually come out to Provo and play BYU. I know we harp on Notre Dame quite a bit here on the show, but they're rolling right now on South Florida, 35-0. Again, it's like, why play South Florida? Like, what was the point in playing the South Florida Bulls if you're Notre Dame? Like, why not play BYU, a team that would have come to South Bend and been ranked?
BYU has morals and they have standards and they want people to uphold their contracts. South Florida will just go there every couple years. They don't care.
Yeah, South Florida, I found out the details on that scheduling agreement. They're supposedly going to get a home-and-home with Notre Dame.
Bull crap. They're not getting a home-and-home.
Exactly. There's no financial buyouts for Notre Dame if they were to cancel. So it's like, South Florida, this is a one-and-done. You're not going to get a return visit.
I'm seeing a trend here from Notre Dame. Hey, we'll do a home-and-home. Come to us first, and then we'll just back out of the rest of the deal.
Yeah, that's how it goes. The teams that are replacing BYU on network CBS right now: Appalachian State, number 23 in the country, playing Marshall. I mean, again, that game compared to BYU Army, it's just such a downgrade.
Don't bring it up. I'm just trying to move on and get ready for Troy, and you bring that up. Appalachian State's on CBS. Hey, Mitch, we got a text here. We're piling on to Dallin's list of books he needs to read. If you missed it earlier, Dallin doesn't read, but we're gonna work on him. Texter 6557, I'm ashamed that we forgot this book when we were talking about it. Steve Young's book by Jeff Benedict.
Yeah.
How do we forget that?
QB, yeah, that's
The Behind the Spiral.
Oh, Behind the Spiral. Yes, that is a fantastic book. Came out, what, about five,
and,
5 years
ago? Hey, you know what? It actually touches on all things. A little self-help in there, a little sports. Behind the Spiral is – how did we forget that?
That's a bad mistake, but our texters on the KSL text line, they took care of us and made sure to remind us on that UCCU KSL text line. But we got to get out to an interview now, though, here, Matt. We've been talking a lot of basketball in this hour. BYU Hoops had a commitment earlier this week from a talented 6'8" prospect from Tippview High School, Jake Wallin. I caught up with him moments after he announced his decision to commit to BYU. Here's that interview here on KSL News Radio. KSL News Radio, KSL Sports, and KSL 5 TV. The Mark Pope era at BYU has added another big-time addition on the recruiting trail in Tippview. Forward, guard, he could do it all, pretty much. Jake Wallin has committed to BYU and joining me now to discuss his commitment to the BYU Cougars. Jake, first off, congrats on the decision. What went into this move to announce you're headed to BYU?
Yeah, I'd say Coach Pope really, I grew up a BYU fan. I grew up in Texas, but my dad played football there, and I had some brother-in-laws play there. But so I kind of grew up under that BYU blood, but Coach Pope really brought it out in me during this recruiting process, and he really made me want to go play for them Cougs, and I'm more excited than ever. I mean, it's gonna be a great ride.
Has BYU been a place that you've always looked at because of the family connections that you've viewed yourself wanting to go there?
Yeah, I'd say for sure it was. And then as recruiting kind of went on, I started to realize, hey, I've gotten a whole lot of other good options. But when it came down to it, I couldn't ignore that BYU blood in me. And it's surreal. I love it.
When you mentioned the options, who were some of those other schools that were in the mix for you?
Yeah, I'd say Arizona State, Utah State, San Diego State, Nevada. Those are some of those coaching staffs and programs that really came down to. But and I love all those guys, but Coach Pope, I couldn't say no to.
You recently got the offer from BYU. Maybe take us back to that moment. Describe the opportunity that was getting that scholarship offer from the Cougs.
Yeah, we were just on a Zoom call with my parents and then the whole staff, and it got really, really not emotional, but I don't know. It was a really cool experience for everyone on it, because you could kind of feel that, you know, I belong with them and that I need to go under their hands, and it was a really cool experience like that. But I mean, I'm gonna remember that forever.
Talking with Jake Wallin here on KSL, and you mentioned the Zoom call. It's been an unprecedented time. It's cliche, we know that, but maybe just take us through this recruiting process amidst the pandemic.
Yeah, since March, I was hoping and praying when all this quarantine stuff started up that we'd get some live periods with AAU throughout the summer, because that's like what everyone dreams of for their 17U experience, like their last ride, and we didn't get any of that. So I really made the most of it, and I got in the gym and just worked my hardest, because I knew a time would come where they'd be able to see me, whether it's online or in the gym, and it ended up being on film, on live streams. Recently in Dallas, we went down and played really well and beat a lot of really good teams, and that was my last ride, and I made the most of it, and it was a great experience.
You've been a guy that's been a little bit of a late bloomer in your high school career. How tall are you? What role do you see yourself playing at the collegiate level?
Yeah, I'd say I was a late bloomer, like you said. So I kind of grew later than most kids, and but with that being said, I kind of was always I would always work on my ball handle, because I knew I'd get taller, and being able to handle it at that level with I'm 6'8" now. I'm still probably going up another inch, but I knew that's a huge thing to be able to dribble it like I can at that next level. And Coach Pope sees me as a 2 or even a 1. He tells me at times, and that's what I'm all about, and that's what I want to be at that next level. And then hopefully after BYU someday, my plan is to go play pro at whatever level, and that's going to be a huge asset for me. And that's one of the main things I would say.
And before you enroll at BYU, I know you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Do you plan to serve a mission?
Yep. I'm going to try and get out as soon as I can, hopefully in June, so I can get back as soon as I can and get back to work for the Cougars. So,
what do you make of this coaching staff? Every recruit that I've talked to since this staff came on board back in 2019, it's just been
energy, relentless. They're up all nights, all hours of the day. What's been your impression of them?
Yeah, one of the main things that Pope has emphasized to me is this will be the hardest thing I'll ever do, but it'll be the best thing I'll ever do, because him and his staff are all about the guys, and they make you a whole completely different man at the end of the day, and that's what I'm all about. And I mean, tons of life experiences as long as improving at basketball, and I mean, on and off the court, it's gonna be a great experience.
What do you see for your upcoming senior year at Tempview?
Yeah, we've got the same team. I mean, we had no seniors last year, and we made it to the state championship. So it's not gonna be easier, but we know that this is ours to take this year, and we're gonna put our head down and go take it with passion. And I mean, that's all I look forward to. So.
And I'm always curious too. You know, are there guys that you looked up to that maybe you modeled your game after growing up?
Not really that I model my. I mean, there's guys I model my game after, but as far as since I've moved here in eighth grade, watching all these. BYU's gotten three kids from Tempview, starting with Gavin Baxter, then Hunter Erickson and Nate Hansen, who I'm all really close with, and I've kind of gone through the program with them, looking down on me and kind of guiding me. But I'd say some of those guys I've really kind of always looked up to, and now that I'm in the same position as they are, it's amazing. I mean, I never thought I'd get here. So,
well, Jake, congrats on the commitment, and good luck on this upcoming senior year at Tempview, and also your mission, and ultimately when you get to BYU.
Appreciate it. Go Cougs.
That was the newest BYU basketball commit, Jake Wallin. We'll get to another break here in Cougar Sports Saturday and wrap up the show here on the other side. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.